So we are reading from the second chapter of the prophet Jeremiah, and we find this on page 699 in the Hebrew Scriptures, and we are beginning at verse 4. Hear then the word of the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives? I brought you into a land of plenty to eat its fruits and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, once more, I accuse you, says the Lord. I accuse your children's children. Cross to the coast of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has ever been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Our epistle lesson today comes from the letter to the Hebrews. We are in the 13th chapter, and we find this in the New Testament section on page 227. I'm going to read the first 8 verses of chapter 13 and then skip to 15, verses 15 and 16. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Our gospel lesson today comes from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. We are on page 77. Again, this is in the New Testament. We are reading verses 1 and then verses 7 to 14. Hear then the Gospel according to Luke. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching Jesus closely. And when Jesus noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. He said, when you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus also said to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be pleased, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. O God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I know for sure that Lily has gone and lived in another country. But I'm wondering if any of the rest of us have lived somewhere else? Yeah. Lynn and Edie are nodding their heads for those of you who can't see what's behind you. Yeah. How about how many have gone away to another state to school? Or a job, or just moved, right? How many of you have actually been blessed to stay right here your whole lives? I want to see the hands on that one. There's Gloria, yay. Carol, yeah, okay. There's a few of us. I have not. I have the luxury of growing up all over the place, except sometimes it doesn't feel quite so a luxury. There's a huge culture shock when we enter someplace we've never been and sit with people we've never sat with. It happens even when we get married, doesn't it? Yeah. My mom and dad, love them dearly. They were great help. The 2 weeks they were here taking care of me after my surgery. But they still haven't figured out yet, after 60-some years of marriage, I think they're like pushing 68 or something, whose way they should do Christmas. See, because in my dad's family, they did Christmas presents in the morning and then the big dinner. And in my mom's family, they did all the presents at night and went to bed, got up and went to church. They keep alternating, it depends. And then they go to visit their adult children and their grandchildren, and they've all developed different cultures, and they still don't know what to do. So they've at least learned to not be so noticeable in their disagreements about the proper way to do Christmas. It sounds like a petty little thing the first day of September, doesn't it? Christmas and how we do it. But think about it. Think about it. Maybe you come from a culture where eating dinner in front of the television is perfectly acceptable. So if a stranger was needing to eat with you because you were gracious and found that there was someone who didn't really have a home and they were kind of hungry and you said, well, I got extras, come on in. I ordered the extra large pizza. There's only me, you know, have a seat. And you kind of put the pizza on the whatever is in front of the television and offer them to dig in, and they're anticipating the chance to wash their hands, sit down at a table, have plates. They're going to be kind of in shock, aren't they? It's an old movie now. Do you all remember the movie with Sandra Bullock, Blindside, where she took in the young man who was homeless and fought to keep him at the Christian school, the private school where her children went. And he was so blessed to be welcomed to live with them. He was overwhelmed when she prepared a bedroom for him, and he got his own bed for the first time. Remember the storyline? I see some of you nodding your heads. He saw the book she was preparing for Autumn by getting her decorations out, and he saw the coffee table book, which I don't think anyone else had ever seen, that had the picture on the front of Norman Rockwell's Thanksgiving table. So as they were preparing for Thanksgiving, he's anticipating that that's what's going to happen. And she had the food takeout, packed up in the kitchen, ready for people to fill their plates, which they did, and then they all sat down in front of the TV to watch endless football, remember? And he quietly filled his plate, and he sat down at the table. And she wondered why he was sitting at the table and not joining them. And he just kept looking at that picture, because that's what he wanted. That's what he thought it would be like. And she found that an angel was in her midst, didn't she? Because she told her family to get off the couch, sit down at the table, and show that they knew how to feed themselves appropriately with real silverware. Sometimes we don't recognize the angels that we have. Sometimes angels remind us of a different way to behave. But sometimes angels are stealth, and they just come in our midst, and they observe, and they watch the way we do things, and they don't offer comment, and they don't try to do it different, they just try to imitate us, that they might know our ways more deeply. That they might learn why we do what we do. That they might have the backstory. That then they might provide blessings later through the power of God, because they gained insight and understanding. Can you think of the angels that have been in your life? Can you think of the ways that you have been blessed? Are there angels that you don't even know of? In some ways, what Jesus was teaching in the parable was an invitation for us to take on that kind of behavior. Though he didn't invite us to be angels, because we cannot be, he invited us to be humble, to come into an event and not assume that we have honor, but to assume that we are there to support, to be present, and to be the least, that those who need to be honored will be honored. I have officiated at many weddings and attended additional weddings, and the joy is getting to celebrate with people the beginning of their marriage, but then also it's kind of fun to go to the dinner afterwards and see the party, right? Everybody does it different. There's a signed list, you know, with tables, sticks, and numbers. Some people go out and put your name tags already there. Some people write on the name tag what table you're supposed to be at. Sometimes they just say, whatever. Go where you can. It's really, really different. Some people put all the family at the tables right in front of the head table where the wedding party is, and other people mix it up and they put a family member at each of the tables so that there might be an intermingling and a sense of hospitality at that table, because the people at that table might know the family member they're sitting with. My cousin did it that way at his wedding. And so my uncle was the host at the table that I was at, which included his brother, my dad, and my mom, and myself, and a couple of my brothers who were there, and also the son of one of my uncle's good friends. That when my uncle served in the Korean War, he was stationed for part of it in Japan, and he was able to rent rooms in a house with the owner of the house, he and another airman, and they got to know that family really well and learn Japanese and learn the culture, and they stayed in contact. And so then when their son, I'm going to say it wrong, Shusuke, I don't know, that's the only Japanese I know his name, came to the U.S., then he went to the University of Washington, and my uncle opened his house and had him come in and be part of the family. And so he was delighted to travel to be at my cousin's wedding, and it was a great time to get to know them. He hadn't been to an American wedding, so it was kind of different. He enjoyed it. He liked learning about it. He wasn't comparing and contrasting. He just asked questions about why things were being done the way they were. And so it was a joy to have him at the table with our family, but it was also a joy to have my uncle be the host at that table to make sure that we were comfortable, that we were cared for. I kind of liked that way of hospitality. It was a way of having angels throughout the party. Jesus is offering up something to all of us, a lesson of what it might look like when we attend things like that. Are we ahead of ourselves in our own importance? Or are we truly humble and looking for those who might be of greater importance than us? But Jesus also chastised the host of the luncheon, remember? He said, "Wow, this is great. You brought in your friends and your neighbors and the rich people and the people who are going to owe you, and they're going to have to top it by having a better luncheon next week and make sure you're on the list." He invited them instead to make sure that the poor and the hungry, the outcast and the marginalized are being fed. They cannot repay. If you're thinking about the people who are angels in your life, perhaps they're the people who can't repay the goodness that you are able to give them. Maybe they are people who cannot keep a ledger of the way that you have blessed them so that they too might bless you. These are really hard things, though they don't sound hard. To set aside our agendas, to set aside our way of doing things, to set aside and keep quiet when we think that it should be done one way or another, or that we're important and someone else isn't, these are hard, hard things to really live. Jesus knows that. That's why he challenges us to do that. Because these are the ways that we show the kingdom of God. But he also knows that we don't have to do it all by ourselves. That through the working of God's Holy Spirit, we'll be able to understand what it is God wants for us. We'll be able to discern those angels we're not sure about. We'll be content with what we have. We won't be seeking that which we cannot gain. We have the kingdom of God. We have the hope of the resurrection. We have have the love of Jesus our Christ. And we have God's Holy Spirit. May we seek it. May we follow it. May we truly live it, looking for angels in our midst.